The 38 letters from John D. Rockefeller to his son represent more than just paternal advice. They're a blueprint for success that has quietly shaped some of today's greatest business minds. Unlike modern success literature crafted for mass consumption, these intimate communications reveal the unfiltered mindset of America's first billionaire. Their authenticity explains why figures like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and Elon Musk have drawn inspiration from these century-old writings. When Gates mentioned in 2019 that he revisits these letters annually to recalibrate my thinking about wealth and responsibility, sales surged 300%. Beyond business circles, these principles have permeated popular culture, with shows like Succession and Billions featuring characters quoting Rockefeller at pivotal moments. Their enduring appeal lies in their remarkable blend of ruthless business acumen and thoughtful reflection on wealth's purpose. You were not born to wealth, but neither was I. With these words, Rockefeller establishes a fundamental truth. Your starting point never determines your destination. This rejection of determinism remains profoundly relevant today. How many resign themselves to mediocrity because they weren't born privileged? Meanwhile, Rockefeller began with almost nothing, yet built history's greatest fortune through determination and strategic thinking. Consider contemporary examples like Oprah Winfrey or Howard Schultz, who rose from poverty to build empires. Their stories echo Rockefeller's assertion that prosperity comes through perseverance, not providence. What truly shapes destiny is character development, fostering ambition, self-reliance, and strategic thinking. These qualities form the internal architecture supporting external achievement. When you build strength of character, you create a foundation that withstands life's inevitable storms. Your background becomes merely a starting point rather than a prediction. The question isn't, what were you given, but what will you build with what you have? What appears as luck to others is often the result of meticulous planning. Rockefeller dismantles the myth of luck as random chance, framing it instead as the natural outcome of strategic foresight. His transformation of the chaotic oil industry wasn't fortunate happenstance, it was calculated design. Where others saw unpredictable boom and bust cycles, he envisioned a system that could be standardized and controlled. By understanding the entire production chain, he positioned himself to capitalize on inefficiencies others couldn't even see. The parallel to modern business is striking. When Amazon expanded from books to everything, many called Bezos lucky. But his regret minimization framework, making decisions based on what he'd regret least at age 80, shows the same strategic foresight Rockefeller practiced. This approach teaches us to develop strategic sensitivity, the ability to detect patterns and possibilities where others see only chaos. By designing systems that naturally generate opportunities, what others call lucky breaks become almost inevitable. The question shifts from, will I get lucky, to, how can I create circumstances that consistently produce favorable outcomes? When work is a pleasure, life is heaven. When work is duty, life is hell. This insight reveals how our relationship with work shapes our entire existence. The distinction isn't about what work you do, but how you approach it, as fulfillment or obligation. Think about Monday mornings for someone who loves their work versus someone who dreads it. Rockefeller understood that engaging work transforms daily life. When work becomes a source of genuine satisfaction, the boundary between work life and real life dissolves. Your professional endeavors integrate with your identity and purpose. Truly successful people don't just tolerate their work, but are energized by it. Finding work aligned with your natural interests isn't a luxury, it's essential for fulfillment. This explains why some wealthy people continue working long after financial necessity has passed. When work provides meaning, it becomes a vital component of a well-lived life rather than something to escape. Do it now. This deceptively simple directive encapsulates a profound truth about success. Opportunity doesn't reward contemplation, it rewards action. While others deliberate and hesitate, those who act immediately gain momentum that compounds over time. When Rockefeller spotted inefficiencies in oil refining, he didn't commission endless studies, he immediately implemented improvements. This created a virtuous cycle. Each opportunity seized generated resources and insights, revealing new opportunities, which he promptly pursued. Action begets more action, while hesitation breeds only more hesitation. Humans naturally gravitate toward comfort and certainty, making immediate action challenging. Yet Rockefeller recognized that habits, particularly the habit of taking immediate action, ultimately shape destiny. This approach directly challenges perfectionism, that tendency to delay action until conditions are ideal. Perfectionism masquerades as quality control, but often functions as fear management. The question isn't whether conditions are ideal, but whether immediate action creates forward momentum. What makes this principle particularly powerful is its compounding effect. Small actions taken consistently create momentum that transforms into significant achievements over time. The gap between those who act immediately and those who hesitate widens exponentially with each passing opportunity. In business warfare, retreat means defeat. Through his confrontation with Mr. Benson, Rockefeller demonstrates that business success often depends not just on strategy, but on unyielding determination. The business landscape he navigated was no genteel parlor game, but a fierce battlefield where competitors actively sought to destroy one another. In this environment, hesitation could prove fatal. When faced with Benson's challenge, Rockefeller responded not with compromise, but with calculated counter-offensive moves designed to neutralize the threat completely. This approach contains an essential truth. In truly competitive environments, determination often outweighs pure talent or resources. Consider how Apple, nearly bankrupt in 1997, eventually surpassed seemingly invincible Microsoft through Steve Jobs' relentless determination. Rockefeller's competitive philosophy centered on understanding your opponent's psychology, subordinating emotional reactions to strategic thinking, and taking decisive action rather than half measures. This perspective highlights the importance of commitment. Many ventures fail not because the idea was flawed, but because founders retreated at the first significant resistance. Breakthrough success often awaits just beyond the point where others typically surrender. Fear of debt is natural, but strategic borrowing builds empires. Rockefeller challenges conventional wisdom about debt, presenting it not as a last resort, but as a powerful tool for seizing opportunities when deployed strategically. He distinguishes between consumer debt that finances lifestyle and strategic debt that finances growth. The former depletes resources, while the latter, when properly managed, creates them. Many of today's most successful companies grew rapidly through strategic borrowing rather than waiting to accumulate sufficient capital. They understood that opportunity costs often exceed interest costs when genuine growth opportunities present themselves. Rockefeller acknowledges that borrowing naturally triggers fear, emotions that many allow to dictate their financial decisions. Yet engaging with these emotions rather than avoiding them leads to growth, both financial and personal. Central to his borrowing philosophy is integrity. Honesty forms the foundation of trust with financial institutions, creating relationships that endure through inevitable business cycles. The practical application involves developing strategic borrowing intelligence, the ability to distinguish between opportunities worthy of leverage and those that aren't. This requires honest assessment of potential returns, realistic evaluation of risks, and disciplined execution. When these elements align, borrowing becomes not just acceptable, but optimal for building wealth.